Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me, as always, in a ray of sunshine, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing this morning? What kind of mood are we in?
Well, first of all, I just woke up and I'm sitting in front of a window.
That's why you got the ray of light on you.
Yep. No, things are doing pretty good. Well, wait, that's not true. Yeah, things are just fine.
Yeah, just fine?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what makes them not great?
I don't know what makes them not great. I can't really pinpoint because a lot of great, cool stuff is, we've been like, you know, we're kind of setting up a little bit. We're in your new studio.
Oh my God. The studio is electric. You guys got to see this setup. We've got a coffee table, tiny desk.
Telling people on a podcast, you got to see this.
We might post photos if we get enough demand. Please tweet at Self-Esteem Party. Hashtag release the studio photos.
Let's see the studio. It's actually not set up fully yet, but there is a coffee table in this room.
I'm waiting to get a cork board. It's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're set up. I also have a special Arabic Dirty Dancing poster coming.
Already doesn't sound that impressive at all.
Wait, do you guys see this cork board?
This room's amazing.
We're going to get so many ideas on there.
Yeah, just wait till we get a stack of post-it notes on the wall.
We're going to have to-do list after to-do list. Norm, if you had to put a number on this just okay feeling, what would it be?
Well, it's really weird because, you know, I don't... So there's been a bunch of good and bad stuff, but not like the bad stuff I don't even care about. Like, obviously, like, sports-wise, like, you know, we watched the Leafs get eliminated. That was sucked. You know what I mean? But it's pretty par for the course.
That really dragged me down as a woman.
but we got, like, our, you know, we got our patio furniture, and we have a barbecue now. And...
You guys got to see this grill. Let me tell you, we haven't used it yet, but let me tell you, this thing is literally on fire.
We're going to be eating some corkboard steaks.
Hey guys, it's on the way, and yeah, it's white linen.
These thumbtacks. Really good. Another stack of post-it notes. Thank you very much.
Here's the thing. I wasn't really affected by the Maple Leafs getting eliminated from the playoffs, so maybe I'm feeling a bit better than you. I've got the big show this week.
You got the big show on Thursday, yeah. We had some pals over. We had Steph Tolliv over for... Have you had her on the podcast?
Of course. That's right. I took a COVID test that morning because I was like, I'm going to give everyone COVID. And of course, as always, it came back negative. Every time I get, if my throat hurts or I have one cough, I'm like, oh, great. I've infected all of LA. It's like, I got to chill out.
Yeah, because you have to also realize that all of LA has been infected twice already.
Yeah, I really got to chill out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't
lose your corkboard over that.
Okay, Norm, nothing's getting rid of the corkboard. You're being insane. You're unhinged.
Things are all right, though. You know, I can't really complain. I just, maybe it's just because I'm like, groggy this morning. Well, not even groggy, but I feel
you know what it feels like? It feels like nothing too wild is popping off.
Yeah.
Because even we were in the height of really bad, negative things happening, it was big things popping off, which brought big emotion with it, even though it wasn't good, but still.
Yeah.
So when things are kind of trucking along, mundane, whatever, it's like it's not bad, but it's not necessarily great because you're just like, I don't know, I guess it's fine.
No, I think in times like this I really need to like schedule and like you know, map out what my day, like I need stuff to
structure
do. Structure, yeah.
So many people talk about this on the podcast, and that's why so many people's self-esteem are affected by work, which we actually covered today in this episode.
Gives you a lot of structure, right?
Yeah, already. Yeah, it really does.
And if you don't have any structure, it's good to like figure out, okay, well, how am I spending my week here? You know, it helps with that. A cork board.
Okay, what more do you want?
Yeah, I think I'm waking up sometimes and I'm like just laying there because I'm like, well, what do I really have to do? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I have some things that I need to like figure out for the future, but I can just do that in the afternoon, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And it's getting hot outside.
Oh my God, can I get a mist on me?
That's what we need for the studio. A mister.
I'm exasperated over here.
We need an amusement park mister when you first come in.
Well, Norm, what do you think? Should we get to it?
I think we should, yeah. I mean, we just chatted. That's the whole thing, right?
That's the whole thing is we just check in, we chat. I'm doing okay. This is a fun episode.
We missed
as
our
always,
chicken last week.
No, that's coming out this week.
Oh, okay.
We didn't record it because I had the Casey episode.
Right.
So then now we're releasing ours.
Well, then that's coming up on the Patreon.
That's right. So check that out this Thursday. We'll have the monthly check-in where you and I really get into why things are just okay. And remember, and I didn't even check in, so it's like, who knows what my self-esteem is? You'll have to subscribe to see.
Let's dig in to find out why things are average.
Okay, you guys.
Truly, who cares about that?
Please help me welcome my guest, Aurora Brown, right after this break. Hey, everybody. I'm here to talk to you about Ana Luisa Jewelry. We're currently doing a promo with them. Buy one, get one 40% off sale. shop.analuisa.com/self-esteem. That's shop.analuisa.com/self-esteem. This jewelry is super cute. I have a couple necklaces and bracelets that come in many different sizes, which makes it really great to kind of customize to what you're looking for. They've got jewelry starting at $39. It's the perfect gift. I cannot recommend it more, you guys. Super cute, super affordable. Go check it out. That's shop.analuisa.com/self-esteem. You guys are going to want to get on this sale while it lasts. I'm telling you, take it from me, the queen of self-esteem.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Aurora, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast.
Exciting.
I'm so excited to see you. I haven't seen you for real in so long because you're all the way in Canada. For real so long.
I know. It's been so long. Hang on. I'm going to hide myself view so I just look at you. So I'm just looking straight at you.
Ooh, girl, not me with this beautiful blue wall. You better believe I'm all over the screen. If anything, I edited you out of here. I'm going, I don't have time for her. Look at this gorgeous light.
You do have a real, I can't remember, there's a name for some, for the 80s kind of style, and I can't remember what it's called, but with the slats behind you and just the sunlight.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very 80s and kind of retro and
thank you. I'm trying to do like school portraits.
Oh, no.
And this is the this is the pull down background. It was either this or beautiful stars in a gray.
Oh,
just gorgeous.
Great.
Aurora, what is going on? Wait, can we start with the check-in?
Yeah.
You listened, you know what's up.
Yeah.
Self-esteem party check-in, scale of 1 to 10. How you feeling about yourself? Wow, huge sigh.
A huge sigh. That's a tough, I would say, let's say if I were to give myself a number.
Yes.
I would give myself about a, it vacillates. See, this is the problem. I knew that this would be the problem the moment I said yes to this podcast because I'm one of these people who has like varying states of being. And what even is, I think I'm okay. Today is my day off. From the show that I'm doing, I'm extremely tired, but I did get the opportunity to do kind of nothing. And Sebastian and I just went and got an ice cream from McDonald's. So I'm feeling good, I guess. Good, but just kind of tired. Yeah.
Okay. So a good, I would say, is between a 6 and a 7 because a 5 is the neutral where you're like, nothing's too good, nothing's too bad.
Then
so
I would,
that to me is the neutral.
I would say then the 6 or 7, I would say more around the 7. 7 is what popped into my head and then I was too insecure to say it.
Oh my God, what? Hey, listen, Aurora, I've been cruising. Yeah. I've had, like, this will come out a week from now, but I am currently at the moment feeling pretty good.
Good.
And I was clocking in at like an 8. So
that's,
it's like,
good.
Who knows, by the time this comes out, anything can happen, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. How have you been cruising at an 8 and what does that feel like?
You know what? I talked about this a bit in the intro, but I did a friend's Netflix is a joke show, Beth Stellings. And it was at a big venue at the Masonic Temple, historic venue at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, at 250-seat crowd, crazy, beautiful venue, gorgeous. And it
it just went so well in mm-hmm. the sense that I had so much fun mm-hmm. that, because I couldn't hear the crowd laughing. Like, I know I did well because I was told I did well.
Right.
Right. But they had the speakers like facing me, the set that faces you. Yeah. So I could only hear me. And I was like, well, this is nauseating. But it's like, apparently people were laughing, but I couldn't hear them. And it was really freeing because I had such a good time. I was like, I know it was true joy because it was only with myself because I couldn't hear them.
Interesting.
That's do you know what I'm saying? Where yeah. it's like, yeah. I wasn't feeding off of them. Like, there was an energy in the room, but it was like, it was just me. And I was like, well, okay, Elena, you're in it now.
Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole, like, just mentioning work, like, you know, the self-esteem that is attached around work is such a thing.
Yes. And, my God.
I'm doing a play yes. right now, and it's a play that you can find as a comedy, or you can find it fairly horrific. And, and it's quite freeing.
Okay.
It's awesome. It's about the Cold War. My character goes through some unofficial illegal CIA experiments. It's awesome.
Ooh.
Yeah. But it's interesting because it doesn't... The nature of the show, it's at this theater called Video Cabaret, which has these very stylized shows. And the shows go like gangbusters. Like, you have sometimes 8 to 15 characters that you're playing, and the scenes are short, and you're just running backstage the whole time to like change your costumes. Da, da, da.
Oh my
God. So in a way, it doesn't matter what the audience does because the show is the same no matter what. And in a way it's freeing. Like we were saying, like the audience we had yesterday was quiet, but really there when they were laughing mm-hmm. at stuff. And you even heard some people like saying a few things in the audience, and what a different feeling, because if that audience had been a comedy show audience, we would have all needed to take acid baths to wash the stink and shame off us, right? Like,
you know, that. I'm learning the concept of people listening in a crowd.
Yes.
I'm learning. This is news to me, you guys. Apparently, when people are quiet in crowds, sometimes they're actually just listening
that
and
is
enjoying
true.
And when you laugh, we all know this, as much as I love laughter and I live for it, you do miss the beginning of the next thing that's said unless the performer pauses.
That's true. That's true.
You know what I mean? You are going to miss it. So I am very high energy, and I know on stage, as you've witnessed, I can talk very fast mm-hmm. sometimes when I'm caught up in the moment. I can talk fast. So someone is going to miss it. And sometimes when a crowd is quieter, I'll think I'm bombing. And then my director, Beth, has pointed out, she's like, people were just listening to the story. You weren't giving them a second to breathe. And I was like, oh, that is a bit on me. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. But it's the feeling inside you, inside one, when one does not get the laughs one hoped for at a comedy show
yeah.
is... That's a hard one to get over because, like, you know...
Oh, it's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. It's a literal nightmare.
And you have failed as a person. You yeah. can't blame anyone or anything but you. You can't blame anything. You're just like, I came out under my name mm-hmm. and announced I was doing this thing, and I did it, and no one liked it, so everyone hates me.
Oh, God. That's it's just it. The worst. See, this is what I'm talking about, the roller coaster of esteem and self-esteem that happens, I think, when you're a performer. I of course, listened to my husband's
yes.
podcast episode with you. And he was like, I'm just Chris cruising Siddiqui. Like an 8 or 9. And I was like, wow, man, you're amazing. Like, that he's just at a constant oh, good level. I was like, this is why I married you. So somebody in the house would have, like, a good constant of...
You know, he was doing it when... Chris had done one of Sonar's earlier... YouTube live shows yeah. and I had Chris on to play the truth or truth game mm-hmm. where we ask each other like truth or dare, but without the dare because it was over Zoom mm-hmm. so we just did truth. It was yes. much easier, and I did check in on people's self-esteem levels then. Also came in sky high. This is months apart
yeah.
during a pandemic
yeah.
still came in great attitude, very positive, and I was like, wow, you are just, I get that there's down moments, but like, you are pretty unshakable. He is pretty positive.
Yeah, he's a positive guy generally, which is great.
Yeah.
you know, he's a very appreciative, celebratory, shake it off kind of person. And mm-hmm. I find it very inspiring because left to my own devices, that's not the kind of, that's not true. I do celebrate people for sure. I'm the kind of like when I'm drunk or high, like I'm like, I love you so much. You know, I'm sending texts going, just picturing us all as dragons and flying through the, you know, like all that kind of stuff. But he can maintain that at a pretty constant level and it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, I envy it sometimes. You know, I'm not always
I do
way.
Too. You know, Aurora, you and I are a lot alike, and I will never forget when I had first kind of come onto the Toronto scene, and we were doing a show at I want to say Ghost Jail at Tim Sims.
That's probably what it was because I was going to say.
I'm almost positive it was Ghost Jail. So this is way early on.
Oh yeah.
And I will never forget. I had asked you advice. I was like, "How do you make it work in this business?" And you went, "You need a good therapist."
I have been
dying to say this back to you for years because I'm like, it really was the best advice that you could give. I was like 22 or something. Like, it was the best advice you could have given me was to get a good therapist. Oh my the God. Best advice.
I'm so glad it was good advice. Oh my God.
It was good advice. I really do. Good. And for any age.
Yeah.
For any age.
I think so too. And I think, I mean, I do think that the frisson of comedy is people who have enough self-esteem that they can get on stage and say, yeah, you should spend the moments of your life concentrating on what I want to tell you about, and yet have the low self-esteem that they're looking at their own flaws and aware of them and aware mm-hmm. of their own silliness and all that kind of stuff. And it's very handy to have a good therapist to work all that out. I do have a good therapist, and I'm even trying to remember if I had him at that time, and I think I did.
Wow, really? Yeah. Still together?
Yeah, although I did take long breaks because I felt really good for a while. then I went back. But yeah, he's been a really great thing. I would say I have a small, his name is Louis. And I have a small Louis inside my head a little bit now. And he mostly listens, but he's also said from time to time some really short, pithy, memorable things that have helped me through things. Like, let's see, what is it? Whenever there's like a gnarly moment, ooh, this is an old issue coming up, or is a conflict or a challenge or something. He's like, this is a very hopeful moment. He's from Quebec. And I'm like, hopeful? I remember the first time I had to get him to explain. He said, this is a hopeful moment because right now you're not just going along in your life. This is one of those moments where everything is stirred up and an old pattern is at hand. And basically, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but basically a moment where you can perhaps change your script or try something new in these old moments, and that something new might come out of it. And so little things like that made me think of, like, it's like when you're playing a video game, you're like, there's so many enemies, and it's like, this is the game giving you a whole bunch of resources, you're going to loot from their bodies afterwards. I try to think of challenging moments like that, and so that helps me get through stuff, you know.
It's like it's a learning opportunity because you can talk about a problem after the fact.
Yeah.
But then you don't always get the chance to put the conversation into practice for the next time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I completely understand what he's saying. I my therapist is kind of newer, just like the last couple months. We're getting on very well, but she is, you know, for a therapist, we're talking years. Usually these relationships can go if all goes well.
Yeah.
But I definitely like her because she's very casual, and she doesn't always side with me on everything. Like, she'll point stuff out, but she's always like, well, that doesn't sound fair. And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. Like, she's not like, so how do you feel about that? She's like, wait a minute, what? Like, she really calls things out. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't hear, and I'm sure you have this too, you don't hear the injustice of something that you're saying, where like with your family or something like mm-hmm. that. Like my family's really big on like, no, don't come visit, don't come visit. And she's like, well, that's not fair. You can go visit whenever you want. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can. No one can stop me. They just won't want me there, and they'll make that very clear the second I land. Oh, as clear as possible.
What a hopeful moment that is.
What a hopeful moment for me to get on that plane and be asked to leave the second I get there.
Oh my God. How many people, how many would you say that you've talked about this subject? And like, as soon as self-esteem comes up, like family starts like pulsing in the corner of their minds. Like it's,
you know, Aurora, I got to say this. It's very interesting because something to speak to that you had said earlier about self-esteem affected by crowds mm-hmm. and how they receive what you're doing. So mm-hmm. during the pandemic, people's biggest low was because they did, people's biggest low in our industry was because they didn't have that reaction or that feedback or instant gratification anymore, right? Mm-hmm. But we were all really missing our families, right? Now that theater and live shows are back and that's all back and we're getting that again, now I'm hearing more of the family stuff because now we've all seen our families and we've had the gratitude and the like, oh my God, I love you. I'll never take this for granted again. We've settled back in.
Into we're back. I want to stab my eyes out.
Exactly. So I even had like a Patreon member that I do these like monthly calls with a certain tier of the Patreon. Oh. And they're so much fun. Oh my God. Cause you just get to know, I mean, everybody's so different and yeah. you're just like, who are you and what are you all about? So one of them was going to see her family afterwards. And it's just a whole plethora of issues which I completely related to. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. And it doesn't mean I don't love them, but you're just like, there's just some things that you're like, I guess in these hopeful opportunities, sometimes with family, I find that they're the hardest ones to change because it's been going since childhood. Like if you were dating someone or married to someone, that's been a shorter amount of time yeah. in your life. There's still hope to make an impression and to change. But some things when it's been since the dawn of time, of your time.
Yeah.
How do you flip the switch on that? How do you have the hopeful moment out of that?
That is the very tough thing because sometimes the hope is, you know, I mean, you're always kind of hoping maybe this time they'll say that they liked me the best out of the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say the yeah. thing I want them to say. They'll be the way they are. And I would say, you know, if that's not already there, chances feel low sometimes that the person you want to say the thing will actually say the thing in that way. But yes. you could also be hopeful that you will be different, I guess, that you will approach it differently. Either you'll feel different or you'll try to act a different way, because there's always that way that, you know, like you're always the same with a family member, you know, like you fall into
exactly those, yeah. exactly like and you fall back into it so quickly.
Yeah. And I think so that's probably the more achievable hope, because that's something that we have control over. And then there's hope that you can see things differently. I've spoken about this in a couple of places before, but I'll share my Please. Strategy for dealing with the present moment when it's very irritating. And it started with my dad. And this was, so I think I would say this was like 7 or 8 years ago I started doing this. He would come over and I had this thing, you know, I'd go to visit my parents, love them, want to be there. And then like just felt hopeless by the end of it. Like just by the end of each visit, you know, like I'd like to slap my own face and I guess I'll never be okay. I guess like nothing will ever be okay.
Yes. Sounds like a beautiful lunch to me.
A go beautiful on. Lunch. And so he would come over and he would say things that really pressed my buttons. And I started imagining, and this is going to sound weird and a little sadistic, but it actually is very loving. I would imagine, okay, Aurora, this moment right now that you're getting with your dad is actually a holodeck type presentation for those who are Star Trek kind of fans. Somewhere your actual real self is years in the future and your dad is long, you know, my dad is long gone. And I've just been given, I just got randomly a day and this is the day. And I get to see him again for a day. And that kind of, I guess it's like putting pandemic into like a tiny little droplet, because it makes me think, it transforms the things that are, you know, frustrating about him into just like, oh, there he is kind of thing. And it instantly would help me kind of relax and just like take him in.
It's so beautiful.
It's a pretty morbid way, you know. I guess I can sum it up in like, we're all gonna die someday, so we better appreciate now, kind of thing. It's like I can't. I'm an atheist. I'm not gonna be comforted by visions of the Lord. Same. Or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I am comforted by knowing that the transitory nature of life is what gives its sweet pang of presentness, and that you have to appreciate it. And I guess so that's a way of finding gratitude. I guess that's what people call it, but without having like a live, laugh, love poster on my wall. That's
well,
how I do it. We're all going to die, so enjoy it, I guess, is what I would have instead.
Then guess what? We're going to get that made for you. Okay. The podcast is going to get that sign. We're going to get up on that wall that is behind you right now. Aurora, I couldn't be happier to be telling you this now.
Now, I have a question, though. I have another question. I know it feels in a little way like I'm interviewing you, but I was thinking about this whole thing, and I was thinking that I have this, not a problem, but it's like I have this like stop that happens at the word self-esteem, kind of like I used to when people were like, you got to love yourself before you can love someone else. And I was like, what the fuck does that even mean? You know, like, I don't get it. Like, I can understand having faith in my abilities. I can see that, you know, I can understand that, but I'm not, or you know, enjoying my own company or being okay being alone, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But just the thing, self-esteem, it's like I don't even quite grasp in a way what it means, or like just thinking of I feel great about myself, just blank, you know, just as a blanket statement. That kind of stuff doesn't work. I can be specific about it, but when you say that, what do you mean? And then maybe that'll help me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am so glad you asked this question. Let's clear it up once and for all. Okay. And I can't believe nobody else has. Oh. I like when I ask the check-in,
yeah,
I like to see how people quantify self-esteem. So sometimes somebody's saying it because external factors are going well in their life. Right. I got a job or this or that, right? Other people are saying it because they're like self-acceptance, radical self-acceptance and self-love has been happening. So that's where they're coming from. Other people, it's because they got gratification from somebody else. That's where their self-esteem is coming from. To me, it's as simple as this. If I were to ask you, hey, do you like me as your friend? Do you like me as a friend?
Yes.
Great. So when I say, what's your self-esteem? I'm just saying, do you like you?
Do you
like you? That's how I look at it.
Right.
Because I'm like, that is all encompassing. I can't always explain why I like a friend, but I just know I like my friend.
Yeah.
I'm like, I like him. He's a cool guy. Or I think they're great, whatever. Right. So it's like, when I say self-esteem, it's like, just because something's bad is happening in my life. Like the last couple months have been really tough. There's been hard things happening. And of course, everybody has now in these last couple of years has similar stories of terrible things happening and feelings and stuff. But just because that's going on doesn't mean I have to drag myself. I can still like my friends, even though these bad things are happening in my life. So why can't I like me too?
Right.
And the times that I've let down my friends, I don't like myself because I'm like, I really like this person. I let them down. So when I let myself down and let myself get defeated by things, then I don't like myself. So that's how I look at it. I don't know if that's confusing or not, but that's my logic.
Well, you're making me a little verklempt. I'd never heard it put quite that way. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a good way to put it. Okay, let me take a breath for a second and also just let the cat out of the room because he's scratching at the door.
Take a breath. I'm going to have a sip of some Coke Zero. And listen, we're not sponsored by Coke Zero, but for those of you out there, please try the stuff. It's absolutely delicious. I think you're going to like it. And Aurora is back. I was promoting Coke Zero, not sponsored. I was just saying, if you haven't had the stuff, have it.
Just a spontaneous, you know,
I put an ice cube in it, and you'll appreciate this, my Toronto Raptors glass with my name.
Oh,
how about
my
that?
God, that is amazing.
Isn't that so fun?
Do they sell them with the names or did you get it made?
It was a friend gave it to Norm and I each a glass for a wedding gift, which was so nice. And we didn't have a wedding. So it was very nice. Yeah, it was kind of a random gift. They didn't, when they had it shipped to us, they didn't have a card or anything. So it really took a while to figure it out. And then, you know, you have to like eventually ask people being like, did you send me this? And they're like, no. And I feel really bad now. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that's not what I was trying to do. But also send me a gift. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm halfway there.
You know, Sadiq's and I have not had a wedding either. We're not really official, but that's, I mean, we were, it was going to, 2020 was going to be the year. And then, you know, obviously things got put off.
We eloped in Vegas. It was a total blast. And, you know, I have to be honest with you. If I wasn't living in another country, I don't know maybe if I would have done it, because there's also a paperwork thing, or if I would have done it as soon, because there's also a paperwork thing where it's like, oh, did we want to do a spousal visa thing or wait for the green card? And it's like, oh no, our green card's totally lined up to just wait. And then I became a citizen. So it didn't even matter. Oh. But there was a second there where I was like, oh, does this make more sense just in terms of like applications of green cards or like renewals and stuff? And I'm like, no, it actually didn't. So I guess we just did it for the outfits.
The costumes, the cosplay, the husband and wife cosplay.
I didn't even wear a dress and it felt like that.
I do have a wedding outfit planned, but I think it will be a jumpsuit.
Can you tell me?
With a cape, like a jumpsuit with a cape over it, I think is the bare bones of it. But
I wore a jumpsuit, a deep V. I wore a plunge jumpsuit.
Yes.
I tried it on. Store on Queen Street. First thing I tried on, fit like a glove. Boom, bought it. $150. See at the altar.
That's kind of what I want. But then simple. I want, like, for the entrance, I think I'd want
the cape's going to be harder. I think you might have to go to the fabric district, pick it out, and get a custom made. Especially because you're taller.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, and the jumpsuit too, right? Because you're taller. Like, there's a world too where you also get that custom made. It's not crazy if you're doing just a simple one piece type thing. It's not as crazy.
Yeah, I think I would want to get it custom made, because I kind of want like there's a few design elements. Like, I don't necessarily want shoulders like Cersei when she got all like her short hair wore on. And
you know, okay,
but
yeah.
But some kind of capped sleeve kind of thing. I like to do some, but you know, it'll be a big. I think what we would like though is to wait until we can really have a big party. Like, where nobody has to worry about it, because that's kind of the big, you know, point.
Oh, my cousin just had a wedding and it's officially a super spreader. 20% of the people caught COVID. Yeah. Oh, super spreader. Geez. What are you going to do?
Oh, hang on. While we're talking about these other things. Hi, Chris Siddiqui.
Tell him I say hi. Your headphones are in. He can't hear me.
He can't hear you. She's saying hi.
Hi, AJ.
Oh, wow. So soft.
He just got up from a nap. So
oh, that's why. Soothing. Oh, yeah. Soothing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Getting him nice and hot off the press. I love it.
Now, I think I've probably sidestepped a few questions that you had just by talking about weddings and stuff like that. So I feel like
we talked about weddings. We talked about the profound thing we left off on was my definition of self-esteem. So now, it only seems fair I turn it back on to you, because you'd said a couple things, but what is your, when I asked you the question and you gave me the answer of how you felt when we said, is it around a 6 or 7, whatever, and I quantified 5 as neutral, what was going through your head when you were like, I knew this was going to come? Like, what was going through your head in the measurement that you were trying to make of what it means?
Well, I was thinking about, in general, like these days, my base level, mm-hmm. I would say, is solid. It's good. You know, like, and then how tired am I, and how many things have I gotten done today? You know, like,
those. Oh my God. Accomplishment is huge for me in terms of feeling good or not. Yeah. Because it's, are you useful or not?
And I'm a combo always of wanting lots of stuff, like planning lots of things, and profoundly lazy. And so the number of things that I do
get At least you're aware.
I do get things done. You know, I work hard, but I'm not a disciplined person. And I think that there's lots of times that I will rack up a real long list of, I could do this and this and this and this and this. And then think that all that is going to happen, and then do none of it, or start things and don't finish them. And so those are always, you know, I would have liked to have either had a really profound nap today or do a ton of stuff, not just kind of lay around and let myself rest.
And nothing.
Yeah, nothing. So there's that. And it just...
Okay, wait. Can I interject for a second on that, though? So there's one way to look at that as, oh, I didn't really get anything done today. But the fact that you didn't do anything and you're so tired... The other side is that that's an act of self-care.
Yeah.
Which means you must love yourself if you bother to care for yourself. You must.
I know. See, this is the thing.
Right? It's so hard.
Yeah. And I always, like, I'm aware of, like, oh, you know, this and this and this wound from childhood kind of thing. But it's like, but I know that, like, we show love to our son. You know, love hugging, and like there's a certain amount of self-esteem and affection that I must have because I do get on stage. I do have the confidence sometimes, you know, to say things to people. And then there are other times where I really don't, but there must be a good, pretty good base level of it. And I will say that, like, I would say since like August, like, you know, like all fall into winter, I've had a... Well, not I did have a bit of a slump in the fall, but like the last few months, I have had a real, more bolstered kind of feeling of self-esteem. And as Chris reported in detail, we've been really happy. And
oh yeah, baby,
that always helps like enormously. Like, there's nothing worse than when you're just like, oh God, like we've had it, you know. You know, because the pandemic was a gnarly time, like you're just like in with your people.
Oh, truly terrible. Yeah. An absolute nightmare.
And really that was. And sometimes, you know, apparently divorces skyrocketed in China after the first lockdown, all that kind of stuff. So you really are forced to kind of get in there. And when you're having the down times, that's no fun. But then when you're kind of having a really sustained period of, or when I am, I should make these I statements of honesty and care and feeling cared for and enjoying the practice of doing the loving thing for the other person. And, you know, when things have been really thoroughly communicated, like there's nothing that makes me feel better than honesty, I would say.
Yeah.
Like really radical honesty in a relationship. You know, when you've broken up with somebody and you have that talk after you've broken up.
Yeah.
And there's all of a sudden like, should we get back together? Like what, you know, you're like, oh, wait a minute. What was that moment? You know, like, cause you have this moment of radical honesty when you're breaking up with the person. And I would say that the difference between a like any other relationship and marriage is that you don't break up. You just keep going.
Yes,
and you have those things, those moments. And we, you know, we did. And we've had these really like radically honest kind of times through the pandemic. And it feels really good. I feel really fortunate that like whatever other aspects of life are shaky or scary, you know, I am pretty fortunate that like our home is a very loving, happy place. We're very cuddly. We have this 11-year-old boy who is so sweet and still wants to hold my hand and like some, you know, likes to snuggle. And we have a little snuggly cat who's an old man, but he loves to like jump up. And Chris and I are so snuggly. Like I feel really lucky that way because I have like this kind of constant flow of endorphins. You know, when your body is happy, you're happy.
You know, life's too short to not come the day away. And I'm going to say this, and I know you're talking about all kinds of happiness, but I'm just going to say this. The pandemic made everything stale and trapped and terrible. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for those of us that were lucky to have connection and someone in the house and whatever, I had to work my ass off to make sure things stayed great. Mm-hmm. And ebb and flow, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. of course. But I was like, okay, well, I know what it looks like without, because I've talked to people that didn't have somebody and that sounded like a nightmare. Mm-hmm. But then I also know what it looks like having somebody here, and I could easily make this into a nightmare. Mm. Easily. You're on top of each other. You're all, you know what I mean? It's like you're up each other's butts. Easily this could be just a bad thing. And in the conversation I had with Chris and now I'm having with you, honesty also came up. And we were just saying, I'm too old to hide things. I'm too old to like not just say the truth and then move on with my life so that things can be the way I want them to be, or a compromised version, or maybe a better version I hadn't quite seen myself. However the conversation goes, I don't know, right, per topic. And if you didn't have somebody, it made people not waste as much time with new people. When they started dating again, they were like, no, I can't have the bullshit. I can't come out of this and then just be getting dick pics right away. Cannot come out of 2 years alone and this is what I get.
Yeah. Occasionally Chris has sent me a dick pic, but it's usually a joke. But
okay, but guys, play your cards right and we'll get that on the Patreon. We'll everybody play it cool.
I think I've only ever gotten a dick pic from him. They look great. But yeah, what was I thinking? Yes, it was, you know, I really, like, we've always really liked each other. And, you know, obviously there's always that, like, beginning honeymoon kind of time. And then you have a child, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And that plays havoc with the relationship for sure. And although I will say through the whole thing, like, never stop, even when we were like not happy with each other, like never stopped making me laugh. I never stopped liking him, all those things. And that was even new. That was a new thing that I felt like having a good therapist prepared me. It was like, I'm going to actually be dating somebody who I enjoy instead of somebody I have like suspended hostility towards, or, you know, or who I'm not treating well. And then, and so I thought that we were pretty honest. I always thought that we were good. But then, like, it was cool to know that 13 years in, you can still level up to something new and awesome, you know? And there's going to be little gaming references in my conversation tonight all the time. I just think it's such a great metaphor. But, like,
I've already heard a few, and I assumed you were talking about Zelda.
Yeah. But it's really cool to find that. I mean, I guess, you know, there's some things that it does take 13 years or whatever to get comfortable enough to talk about. And then, or even to realize that there's something that I do need to talk about. It's like, oh, wait, maybe this. And, you know, it was interesting. I was, you know, I'm a, let's see, how can I explain this without getting too raunchy? I would say, like, I'm a pretty intellectual person. I'm definitely like a thinky person. I like to like think and make lists and like, you know, think of the most efficient way to do things and have concepts and all that kind of stuff and think and try to, you know, make things better and how can I do this and take care of people and blah, blah, blah and be perfect so no one will hate me, all that kind of stuff.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. The you know, being trapped inside yourself with your own brain kind of thing. And in, especially in the fall, I remember thinking, oh, like maybe I need to listen to my body a little bit. I was, you know, as the sun goes away, everybody has these times in the pandemic where you're just like, I'm in a rut, like a huge rut. I'm just sitting, I'm sitting in the same chair every day. I'm not even going out doing anything while my son is at school. I'm just watching the TV shows that I'm obsessing about and kind of watching the sun get further away on the horizon. And I tried to think about it and I thought, well, Roy, you know, like you've thought about things many times, you've tried words and that doesn't always work. And I thought I'm going to try like listening to my body or listening to my subconscious, you know. And I was deep into this television show and really, really identifying with one of the characters and thinking, I'm really fucked up if I'm liking this character because, like,
right.
Why? And I was like, am I shipping this character? And then I'm like, no, I'm, like, I'm identifying as a character, as a male character. And so I was like, what is it about this guy, you know, and then I started having, or not started having, I had a dream about this TV character, and which is kind of unusual because I smoke so much weed now on purpose that I don't dream very much also as a side thing.
Oh my God, I also don't dream. Get rid of them. I don't need it.
Well, I miss them is the thing. Like, I've always been a person who has tons of dreams. I've had flying dreams, you know, drowning dreams, like dreams that go back to the same locations, people, that kind of stuff. A few years ago, my mom got diagnosed with cancer, which eventually she died from. And once she got diagnosed, I was like, I'm going to let myself smoke all the weed I want. I'm just not going to stop myself because I need to have stuff. And so it did become, and then, like, you know, things with my dad have progressed and all that kind of thing. So it's still kind of there, and I really should cut it back. But one of the things is it cuts down on my dreaming. So a dream actually fought its way through the fog of weed and, like, made it through, and it had this character in it. And I was like, okay, this is a sign that, like, my conscious brain isn't in charge. Like, my subconscious something is trying to get my attention on something. I should follow this little thread. And this character also, you know, like, there's this sexual kind of element around this, you know, like a ship, you know, like the relationship. And I just thought, there's something about this. I've got to talk about it to Chris. And I took a leap and I did start talking to him about it. And it was like a weird thing to talk about. And I was like, oh my God, that, you know, like, just kind of talking about it all. But it like, for the first day was like a little bit, like, strange. And then it just led to this, like, you know, radically, like, oh my God, honest kind of time. So we had, like, the best Christmas ever, basically, because of it. Because it's just such a turn on, to be honest, you know, like, and it was really cool. Like, it was like, oh, there's been part of me that has been siphoned off or siloed off a little bit. The part of me that is, you know, little, that I think is fucked up or is, like, lonely or low self-esteem or whatever. And she's kind of been siloed off in my mind. And also, she'd, like, taken my vagina with her for a little while. She was back because I wasn't thinking of her as fucked up anymore. I was like, okay, I need to talk and bring this to light. She brought my vagina with her, and it was just, it was great.
And guess what, guys? That's how you enter a dinner party. Okay. Coming hot. Never show up empty handed. There you go. You know what is really interesting? I once read this book, this, like, sex book about unlocking your full potential or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't know why. Well, it's like, it's somewhere in my room here, but it was something about, like, unplug your inner you or something like that. And I was like, ooh, look at this title. Like, did not know what the book was about. Picked it up and I was like, oh my God, yeah, why not get explosive? Let's see what this is saying. And so much of it, especially for a woman, is about the honesty and speaking your truth and what that does to your surroundings.
Totally.
And this is exactly what you're talking about, where you're like, you know what? When I just, like, say something, a weight is so lifted, I can feel all the rest of me. Mm-hmm. Because when you're feeling that weight, all you can feel it on is your chest. Mm-hmm. So, of course, how could you feel your vagina tingling when everything is weighted on your chest or on your back or, you know, wherever you carry that?
Yes.
So you can't feel anything. It's why when you're depressed, you don't want to work out. You can't feel your legs. You can't feel anything else. Yeah. It's just heavy. All you feel is heavy. So, of course, it's going to be the same things in terms of, like, unlocking sexual potential or even not even sexual potential, intimacy. Like, for example, you said you're like a hugger, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are just like not huggers or into touching or anything like that. And then I'm like, yeah, but maybe you are. It's just you haven't tapped in.
Well, see, this
maybe
is,
you are. I don't know.
Well, this is the thing. Like, since that time, I've also just become, I've been looking at, like, at culture and writing and all this kind of stuff through the lens of remember that you have a body, because it's like, you know, as intellectuals we are, like, we're mammals. There are, you know, there are things like we do, there are literal nerve endings that are just kind of in a lower level of our skin that don't get activated unless you get touched and hugged. You know, like social mammal, like we feel so fundamentally good when we have good touch, you know, obviously, like the, you know, a kitten pile or a hug from your loved one or, you know, just like massaging each other's feet or whatever it is, right? Like, and I think that there's, you know, when people's bodies are, you know, too tired and deprived of sunlight and taught to fear because they've been hit too many times in their life and they're, you know, all that kind of stuff, like all that stuff just like freezes you up. And I find that the kind of art that I enjoy, like the kind of writing, say, I enjoy, like really remembers that. Like I when I'm reading stuff, if they're talking about like the breath of the person, or I'm watching a show and somebody's breathing really well, it's like my body, you know, can see what they're thinking and feeling, and you feel more connected because you can see what their body is doing. You know how that feels in your body. I'm kind of, you know, blathering on here, but I just think
Not at all. I'm thinking about the show True Blood. Go on.
There you go.
A lot of heavy breathing. Bridgerton as well.
Like, you know, where you can like just see it lifting
heavy
up and
chest,
down.
Chest.
Exactly. So I think it's when you feel physically and emotionally taken care of, when I feel those ways, like my mind tends to calm down. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's really, it's kind of high and worried about stuff. And, you know, good food, really nice things to look at, really nice things to feel, feeling loved, feeling heard, feeling respected, you know. I think it's what we all want. Isn't it what we all want, Alana?
It's what we all want, and you can get it from anyone in your life. Mm. Like, that's the thing too, is that it's, we're lucky it can come from a partner.
Yeah.
Obviously that we have, and it's like, that's so important, but it's even just like in terms of like friendships, I'm finding the honesty that I've been expressing or asking of others in these last couple years has really freed me to enjoy my friends more, because like you said, you are dating and now married to someone you like. Mm-hmm. You just like him. Mm-hmm. Here's the self-esteem. You like him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So it's like when you can be honest about all those other things, it clears it all up, so you can just continue to like the person and almost get back to that honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. With more groundedness and
100%,
knowledge.
100% back to the honeymoon phase.
I'm finding that in my friendships and in my relationship with Norm. With Norm, it's like definitely reaching new levels with the pandemic and the stress, and he has a stressful job. Well, we're in a stressful industry altogether, yeah. Like obviously, and then bad things happen in life and you can't control them. And then there's that stress and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I feel like we've gotten onto a good track, and I feel like it's bleeding into the rest of my friendships and family. Like my mom last week was being really controlling we were having a phone call, and she's being really controlling about me going on a trip. And I was like, this has nothing to do with you. So I was like, I just had to say, I had to be like, I love you so much, but you're just being too much right now. And I'm sorry I have to say that to you, but you're just being too much right now. And of course it wasn't received well, but I did get off the phone. I was like, all right, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And it felt great because I just said it, rather than being like, okay. And then harboring this resentment. I was like, you're too much.
Yeah.
And I'm not dealing with it. I'm out of here. And it felt great. I have no harbored resentment towards her. Talked to her the next day. Mother's Day was great. Great call. We're laughing. Great. We're back on track.
It's true. Feeling like you can say something, that is enormous. I've had a rapprochement with one of my sisters who, I guess I would say, you know, she was like the next older than me and always had resentments to her, like dating back. Like she's 6 years older than I am. So like when I was 6 and she was 12, like she had like all the boss power in the, you know, in that dynamic for sure. And I have older sisters above that too. And so I always felt like there was an inequity in how our parents treated her and what she felt very free to ask for, which I was like, I can't believe you have the balls to ask for that kind of thing. This is ridiculous kind of thing. But I always felt that I could never say anything. And then about, I guess, a year and a bit ago, she was back from where she'd been living overseas. And we were like helping with my dad. And I got really mad at her, kind of yelled at her for the first time in, I don't know how long, maybe ever.
Oh, my God.
Years. And then she asked, can you just write that down? And I wrote not an incredibly long, but a pretty honest email. I sent it to her. I don't even know if she read it, although I'm sure she probably did. We never spoke about it, and I actually didn't even need to. It was crazy. Me sending it to her, I think I said every little kind of point, you know, like not a list of everything that had happened between us, but just like
these. But the main players.
Things. Yeah. And I felt it was crazy, like how there was no discussion of it. Like all that therapy, like there was no like talk or heart to heart. I just said the things. I'm assuming she heard them. I allowed myself to say them. And it was like, whew, it was amazing how it lifted that right off. And then it allowed me to just enjoy the parts of her that are so enjoyable, you know?
Yeah.
It was nice.
It gets clouded up. You and Chris said, what, 13 years, yeah. Did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then your sister, your whole life, is because she's older than you, so your whole life you've known her.
Yeah.
It's hard. As the years go by, you get further and further away from having the guts to say something because too much time has passed. Mm-hmm. It's like when you don't know someone's name, but you've been in and around them for years. Too much time has passed to go, hey, by the way, what's your name?
Yes.
Too much time has passed. So you just have to make do, keep going. It's always uncomfortable. You always want to know their name with your sister, harboring resentment, whatever the case may be, it building. And then finally, one of two things happen. You either hear somebody else say their name and you register it. So with your sister, either somebody else calls it out or you just come clean and go, you know what? I don't think I've been saying the right name. Can you just clarify what your name is?
They're like, oh my God, me too. You know,
and you know what, Aurora? Yeah. I'm proud of you for asking your sister what her name was. I'm proud of you.
I did ask. I was like, what's your name? Call me. Say my name. What's your name? What's my name? It was really good. It was a relief. It was nice.
It must have been.
I'm getting more texts in the last few minutes than I
having the whole pandemic.
Yeah. It's
everyone's like, gal, what are you doing? Let's catch up.
Hey, I hear you're on I can intuit. You're on the airwaves right now with
AJ. I can
tell
you're on a hip podcast.
Yeah.
What are you saying about me?
You said something a few minutes ago. What was it about? It was about work, but it also made me think about like skills that, and I was talking to a friend actually a few weeks ago, because I was saying like, do you also, like I've been actually feeling like not very confident. Like I might like myself, but I have not been feeling confident. One would think it would be the complete opposite because I've had a pretty successful few years, but it's actually like in some respects, my confidence is not great. And I was like, is this just something that happens when you're about to turn 50? Which I am, you know, like that whole thing. And he was talking about the times when he does have it. And he reminded me of like times when I feel really confident are times where I'm learning a skill or I've just mastered a skill or doing something. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just like busy work. Like I was saying before, like, oh, I have a list of stuff and I should get it done. But actual physical skills. Like I at one point when I lived in my old apartment had to replace the toilet, and rather than call an expensive plumber, I taught myself how to do it by watching YouTube videos. I bought the right tool that I needed. I found the particular tank that I needed. I did all the research. I got the stuff. It took me a while, but I did do it in stages, and I ended up replacing the toilet and, you know, cleaning it up and like replacing parts that needed. And when I finally finished that, it was better. The feeling of it was better than an opening night. Like it was.
Oh my God. You must have had the poos of a lifetime.
Every day.
Be
baby.
Honest about your
Every
poos.
Day. Oh, my poos are amazing. most of the time. I will happily talk about those. But yes, it was like the poos were amazing. But it was like I did this thing. And like when I have done a project around the house, when I've done something with my, you know, cordless drill, when I've planted something, that usually is very high up, which is, you know, probably an indication I should be, you know, going for walks, gardening, doing all the, you know, like doing stuff. Because when I do it, it's not guaranteed, but it's got a high batting average. And physical stuff like that, again, back to the body, back to the physical things. But when I've learned something and I've done something with my hands, knitting or crafting or painting, which I'll go months or years without doing. But when I do it, it's like, oh yeah, this. And
well, it's proof.
Yeah. Yeah. It's proof and it's something tangible. It's like, there it is. I did it. And I was, and you know, my mind gets engaged while I'm doing it too. I'm not thinking of like, you know, what did I say at that get together that was so awkward. I'm just like, it's like, I don't know if I'm getting it right, but like when you have an engine, you know, you're driving, you have to like shift gears, you have to unengage the gear shift, I think, or like it has to come out and it kind of spins, you know, until you put it back in gear. And I feel like I'm often just spinning until I can put myself in gear. So I'm actually way happier when I'm working. I do get a lot of self-esteem. Not through,
oh my God, me too.
Not through necessarily like praise or awards of work, that's for sure, but for doing work. Like the thing on Baroness that was the most self-esteem fulfilling was shepherding something that you had the idea of how it needed to be and going through every stage of the thing, all the very interesting stages, you know, like the talking about it, the writing about it, the editing, the pre-production, and I mean the writing, editing, the pre-production, the shooting, then the actual, you know, editing of the thing and all the way through and getting all the right sound stuff. And being engaged in that process was the most satisfying part of it. And you know, it's something that I think that was the biggest reward of the whole thing was being given like the creative control, for sure. You know what helps with self-esteem? A shopping agreement with final creative say in it. I would highly recommend that to everybody.
You know what really helps? Yeah. Being the boss.
Not even for the money, which is, you know, not even that great in Canada, but for that. It was, you know, and then having like a group of people saying, "We're going to help you do this." You know, like that was the most amazing thing. Or, you know, especially if there'd been like a scene that we had tried to get in the first season and the network didn't go for it. But then they were like, we'd like to try this, you know, like pitch it to you again. And they're like, okay, go for it. And then it would happen and, you know, be great. Those kinds of things, like affirming your vision is always really awesome. And then the fact that people are like, yes, we enjoyed this and it was of high quality. Particularly, I would say, the people in the community, because, you know, when it like...
Great. That's who matters.
That's who matters. But like, what you want really is for your friends to come up to you, maybe grab your elbow and kind of drop their voice to that register that says like, "Hey, that was really great, man." You know, like not just "great show" or whatever, you know, like, but like that the way that comedians and sketch artists and improvisers look at each other and really communicate, like, because who else do you
want
to do
that? I need to hear from my peers. It's like, if I'm with an accountant and I say, "You're good accounting," to them, okay, it's not going to mean anything coming from me. I'm so dumb. If their coworker's like, "Hey, great job, you nailed this," they're going to be like, okay, because you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So it matters. And that's not to say, listen, guys, if I'm on TV or in a movie, go see me. Of course, I appreciate it.
Yes.
Obviously, that goes without saying. But it's like, it's when someone's commenting on the skill set, they need to possess it themselves to truly be able to measure it in the same way I'm measuring it. That's for any job across the board.
Yeah.
Because they have the same knowledge that you do or close to it or maybe even more.
Yeah.
And then they're able to recognize that in you. That means something.
And also think of all the years where like we were each other's audiences.
You know, yes. Like, so it's like, oh my God.
Who else do you want to make laugh the most besides the people who like have been around you and they are
the whole time?
You want to make them laugh. It's and of course, the regular folks out there and stuff like that. But there's a special. It's nice. It's the best. I think like being. I would say Baroness was like a long involved version of that toilet. And it was pretty great. And it was really great too. Like, I would say, like, also the times that I've been that I'm the least self-conscious and the least anxious are the moments where I'm focusing on other people, right? So it's pretty great. Like, I can barely handle parties these days. Even before the pandemic, like if it's just a party filled with people who I know and love, I will get so anxious. So I've like started bailing on those quite a lot, unless it's the wrap party to something I've been working on. And you know, because I know that I have a place in it. You know, like I'm not just kind of, people are wondering why.
Well, you have a job. You have a job to do.
I had a job to do. And so I have like, I know that my, I feel confident and firm in my place there. But also like at the Baroness Rap parties, the four of us knew everybody there because we interacted with all the departments. And not like there's some people who never met the key hair or key makeup person who were like central to the job. But, you know, like we knew everybody at that party because we had worked so deeply with everybody. The editing mm-hmm. team that nobody else ever saw, but like was like the most important part of it. You know, like I would say like is such a close second to performing for me. Editing something is extremely satisfying. So that was, it was really cool to know everybody's work, to be talking to everybody, to be engaged in that, like a big group endeavor that is going well, you know, it is.
Yeah, I'll
is,
say.
Yeah. Because it takes you out of yourself, but then B, also like it's just, it's really nice. Like it's, I would say at the beginning of Baroness, I was kind of faking my way through being an executive producer, and I'm making little quotes around here because I just felt like I'm cosplaying as an executive producer right now. Yeah. You know, like I'm doing my best, but you know, to eventually get to the point where it's like, no, I know how to have a meeting. I know how to do this thing. I've mastered a skill again, you know, like it was mastering a skill and it did feel really good.
It's being of use.
Yeah.
Norm and I just had this conversation, and we said it earlier, like Norm and I just had this conversation where it's like, you want to feel like you're providing a necessary mm-hmm. service in mm-hmm. whatever the category may be. Nobody wants to feel like a day can continue without them and no one would notice. That yeah. fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what September was. A day continues without it. Does anybody notice? That sucks.
Yeah.
And even do you notice? It's you putting it out there and then you receiving. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you're just like, if you don't text anybody back, you can't hear maybe a potentially wonderful thing they were about to say. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that, right? Like little things.
So, well, that's another thing where I have to like, you know, I've like in the last couple of years, I've been, you know, rejigging, you know, after my mom died, it was like, oh, okay. So that was like the main relationship in my life and rejigging mm-hmm. things. And how do I express love? How do I evaluate love? How do I carry on during friendships? You know, and like, do I text back enough? You know, like just things yeah. like that. Like, of course, during the pandemic, I'm assuming everybody also had the same pandemic brain where it's like you're hypnotized. It's like I for weeks thinking, I've got to text that person. And it's like I'm reaching out through a hypnotically induced sleep that won't let me quite think. And then finally I'll be like, I'm going to do it. And I do it, you know, kind of thing. But it's, but just those little things of like, text that person back, you know, reach out that little bit more. It's very difficult. Sometimes it feels like trying to stretch out a cramped muscle.
But very rarely does it blow up in your face. Usually when you stretch the muscle, it'll work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It might feel a little sticky, but it'll get there. Guys, all this to say, please stretch. Aurora, you started this podcast at a secret 7. Secret.
Yeah.
Because that was your initial answer. You didn't reveal it. You dabbled between the 6 and 7 only after I suggested it. And then you admitted it was a 7. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling now? And as you know, we accept all numbers.
I'm still the same, I would say.
I'll take it.
It's, I would say, still at a 7. I'm enjoying. Well,
it was a beautiful conversation.
Aww.
But it was very, like, reflective. I feel like I really, you are such a calming presence in my life of all the years I've known you. Really, Aurora, you are such a calming presence to me while still being silly and goofy and having energy, like, you're just someone that it's like talking, even just, I want to know your therapist. talking to you, I'm like, she has so many wise things she's saying. Who the hell's this guy? I got to get in on him.
Oh my God. I'll send you his number afterwards. He does Zoom meetings now. It's pretty great. The weird thing is he refuses to come see my shows. He always has because he's been really clear. He's like, you know, I know that you're on television, but I just, you know, and all these things that you're doing these plays and some of them were about Quebec, but like, I just like this, he just wants to keep it just between, you know, in the space of the thing. And then it turns out the theater where I'm doing this show that I'm doing right now is 100 feet from his house. I don't know which house it is. I just know that he's somewhere within the radius of the theater.
Are you GPS tracking him?
I should, but I don't want to also, like, because I don't want to break his boundaries that he wants to keep, you know, kind of thing. And, yeah. And if I did and see him, you know, would he be okay if I was like, Louis, and hugged him? I would think at this point, because I've been talking to him for a really long time, it would probably be okay. But I'm always like, there's always a chance that I will see Louis putting out his recycling. And so far it hasn't happened. So I don't know. But my Aurora, point is, he's great.
You're going to have to come back on and let us know.
I will let you know, and I will share that with you. And I want you to know that I'm really I feel, God, like there's so many things now that I've gotten going that we could chat about, but maybe we'll have to do a part two. But you are pretty amazing, and I also want you to know, like, I'm amazed that I gave you good advice, and I'm glad that you've taken it, because you're quite a star as a human, as a performer.
Oh my God.
And I will even dare to say that I think you, this is such an outside thing, because of course, you know, like, your journey is yours, and you know yourself, yeah, and that kind of thing. But you should know from out here where I'm sitting, I think that you started your own trend in comedy in Toronto. Because after I met you and started seeing you perform, I would see other women perform, like, I think they're doing an Alana Johnson impression. Is this the first time anybody's ever said this to you?
Because all I've ever wanted was people to impersonate me and a stalker. So if I'm halfway there, that's good enough for me.
And you know, I don't even know if I maybe they weren't, you know, consciously trying to do an impression, but I felt as if in what I was seeing, I was like, Alana is so energetic. She's so present in her improv. She's so bold in her voice and her body and all these things that if either they were doing an impression or you had opened the door to a certain degree, they were like, okay, this is what it means now to be an improviser with all this, you know, like vocal and physical and, but just commitment, I guess, is what it is essentially. And so I think that you, maybe without knowing it, had a pretty amazing effect on the scene here. And
Oh my God. This is absolute news to me.
I should have probably said it at the time. See, this is the thing. I should have texted you, even though I don't even know if I had your number at the time, and said, like, yeah, there's a bunch of people who are using you as a template and because you're so good.
And now I'm upset.
So
I'm ending on a 2.
This is the issue.
You said something great. You said something great, which made me a 10. But then when I realized clearly you didn't like me enough as a friend to let me know this, I thought, oh, I guess I should hate myself too. No.
I was like, fuck her, man.
Fuck this bitch. I'm sick of
this bitch. I'm not going to tell her something. That's fuck that. No, man.
I'm so sick of DMing this lady.
To be honest, I probably was like, oh, that. She would be, I would be like, I'm too shy to text her. Is probably what I was thinking. But
I would have loved it. Aurora, reach out anytime.
Okay, well, and next time I'm drunk or have one of those thoughts, I'll be like, boop, 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 boop. Hey, you're pretty.
And if all goes well, I'll come out in those dreams, won't I?
Yes, yes.
I'll be there.
Yes.
I hope so. Aurora, where, or is there anything coming up or coming or with the play? I don't know when the run goes till. Is there anything for us to check out? This will come out next week.
Okay, promote. So the play that I'm doing is called The Cold War Part 1, and it's with a theater company called Video Cabaret, and it runs until June 5th. So if this comes out next week and people are listening, they can still go to see it. And like I said, it's about Canadian history, and it is like a wild, hallucinogenic kind of experience to see it. And my character goes through, like I said, medical experiments, and it's and Russian spies. It's crazy how many things about the period from 1945 to 1959 are happening now. So I encourage everybody.
Yeah, that's stressful to me. I haven't even seen the play, and that stresses me out.
God. Okay, well, then, okay. Don't want to stress people out, but yes, that's what's going on. So,
because here's the thing. There wasn't enough of me then, and there's not enough of me now. And that's the stress.
There's not enough for two cities, man.
There's just not enough. There's not enough. And that's stressing me out. And I got to figure out how to get a wider reach. That's the bottom line. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Aurora, this has been an absolute treat. I'm so glad we got to catch up. And I'll say it, this was way better than Chris's episode. I know that's not something I need to address, but let's be honest.
Just went up to a 10. Yeah.
We got him. Aurora, you have my permission to stop recording.
Okay. I will now stop.
Me too.
Recording.
All right, guys, this is one last reminder to check out our sale. Buy one, get one 40% off with Ana Luisa Jewelry at shop.analuisa.com/self-esteem. You won't regret it. Bye.
Believe in yourself.